Brisbane, Australia. This is episode 5 of The Normal Blokes, a podcast dedicated to improving the competitive 40k experience. Today, we've got Jordan.
Hey guys, how are we?
And a very special guest, Nick, aka Ranto Prime. Say hi, Rano.
Hey everyone.
So to keep up to date with our latest content, please like us on Facebook and subscribe to us on iTunes. So in this episode, the first part, we'll be discussing Ranto's time at a big event here in our very own Australia, WinterCon, and his input to BrizCon and CanCon. We'll also be breaking down the winning list at WinterCon. In the second part of the episode, we'll be discussing the winning list from the BAO, or the Bay Area Open, which is a premier event in the in America. And our very own Denise met some famous people from Frontline Gaming, Reese and Frankie. And he also met with some other comrade podcasters, Mitch and Colin from the Best in Faction podcast. So, as many of you may know, Ranto is a representative from Frontline Gaming Australia, and he's had a bit of input in many major events, such as BrizCon here in our very own Brisbane. Whether it be supplying tournament mats or terrain or actually TOing, like he did in BrizCon. But Ranto has graciously blessed us with his presence today, so we welcome him. So, Ranto, how's your event at WinterCon go? How'd you place?
Placing wise, I did all right. I came 44th overall. I thought I started really strong I was a draw straight out of the doors. I went up against a tower player. And that was an awesome game, 14 each. It's actually the first time I've drawn in an ITC game, so I was like, oh, that's so I won, and that was really fun. And the third game, I went up against a really unusual list, just as a battle with Imperial Guard, and then it was a close game, but I think I won by 1 point. So I finished the first day, and it was really I was feeling pretty good. I think I was 14th, or it was, you know, top 20 going into the second day, and then unfortunately they've got quite a lot of good bars in CanCon, in Canberra,
and it goes downhill, doesn't it?
We went out for dinner, and we're like, we'll have an early night because we want to do well tomorrow, and I may have had too many drinks. I'm actually Reese is my cousin. It's a lot too. We were talking about it last time, I broke myself off, and the next day I was not feeling the best, and my two games kind of reflect that. I finished my first game with about 7 stratagem points, which obviously means I wasn't using them, which put me at a bit of a disadvantage. The second game wasn't too hot either. But the important thing is I finished the day.
That's good. That's great. That's what we like to hear. But tell us about your list. What did you end up running at WinterCon?
So I took Eldari, and I had the Avatar with and 3 squads of Guardians, so just 2 squads of 20 and a squad of 18. And then I had 5 Wraith Guard and 5 Blade Swords. And then I had that was a battalion, and then I had Altioch with a Warlock and a Farseer. And 2 squads of Rangers, Nightwings as well.
Oh, nice. That's a very interesting list, because mostly you don't really see the Avatar or Eldrad used. It's a typical, you know, Spears or Reapers mixed with the Cat Lady and a bit of Dark Elder. So it's a nice list that you're trying differently. I like it.
I found the best way to run the Avatar is to give him approximately 60 wounds with Guardians, because he obviously makes them fearless. Exactly. Celestial Shield, if you use the Warlock and protect them as well, you get a 3-up involve.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So you can kind of move the squads around him, and you march them up. You deep strike in the Blades and the Wraith Guard, and then the planes are flying all over the place doing shenanigans. So it's a really different list, and I think a lot of the people that I've gone up against it, they've not really seen anything like it. So it's only one of the players really knew how to counter it well. That was the second game, actually. And he was an Eldari player as well. And he had a bit of an alternative list as well. But he focused on trying to kill me more, I think, than the points a little bit. And I just managed to get ahead of him in actually scoring. But yeah, it was a really, really fun event. Like, really, yeah, every person I played, it was a lot of fun to go up against, and I met some really awesome people. We went down there as a business, and my business partner is Isaac Robinson, known as Izzy. He ran the and the mats, and we matted all the tables, which was awesome. Made a big difference. Going down to CanCon, we're going to do the same thing again, but he's playing this time. So yeah, that's it was a really fun event. Just a secret I can just share with everybody is probably don't drink that much on the night. So that's what I've walked away with learning.
Yeah, it's important for 2-day events.
And don't get on the don't get on the sauce too much.
No, especially not on a 2-day
Delicious.
event.
Maybe on the Sunday it's all right, but yeah, the Saturday night.
Yeah, I try and save my drinking shenanigans for the last day of the event, especially when you're playing Eldar Ranto. You should know that because they're very, very fiddly with the perfection that you need to do, and otherwise you just get walked over.
Yes, and that's exactly what happened in my fifth game. But no, it was a fun again. There was a lot of knights there. I was actually surprised by, I would say at least half. But that's just for me looking at the tables. There was a lot of knights, but they didn't really
That's crazy.
they didn't play, they didn't do that well in the top 10. It's such a spread sort of list. I think we've got two, we've got one Eldari up there, and then on a two, sorry, number one and 10th. It was just such a mix of players there. It was really, really good. But there was only one Imperial Knights player that actually made it in the top 10. So it was,
That's right.
considering there were so many there, it was really interesting to see.
Yeah.
I didn't play one though. I thought I might go up against them, but nope,
Yeah.
I didn't
Lucky
get the
too,
luck of the draw.
because the Eldar struggle against the old knights sometimes, especially if you're not equipped to deal with them, that is. But I wanted to ask Jordan, how would you think your typical Blood Angels list would deal with Nick's bit off meta sort of Eldar list with the 60 Guardians, Avatar Arcane, and a few birds flying over?
Oh, it's tough. The Guardians, with dealing with blobs of Guardians. When I played Linford a while back, I don't know, they once you get all those psychic powers off, they're really hard to deal with. And they're just frustrating to deal with. But I think you have Nick is Yeah, it's very interesting. It's different. It's nice to have an off meta list that. What? How many? By the way, how many players were in this tournament? Sorry.
Oh yes, 89 there was.
Holy balls! That's a lot of players.
Yeah, and I think Nick's
And you.
off-meta sort of list would be a bit of a throw around to those 80 players who are expecting the old Inari Reaper spam and Spear spam. So yeah.
I think the Blood Angels list does it well. Does well against a lot of things, but I think depends on the points too. I think my list struggles. My lower points list struggle with a lot of horde, and when
Yeah.
you're talking 60 guardians, that's pretty horde to me.
Yeah. Especially when they get that
Yeah,
imbo, but yeah.
against shooting, I'm pretty resilient, and if you get me in combat, I'm fearless because of the avatar, and then he packs a punch in close combat. And so if you get within three, I'll heroically intervene and jump in and swing my melter sword.
Yep.
Thing that deal with guardians really well from my army list is Death Company with chainswords. They just weigh the dice.
Yep.
Can
I think you'd be pretty good, Jordan, because you got the thing I kind of struggle with is the speed. So if you can board control and jump around me, like Dark Eldar, because of their speed, you can really just move away and keep away from me because I need to keep it all together. You control where it goes, and that's the thing. I've got the planes flying around, but they're not. I mean, they have a 5-up invul, but other than that, they're, it's if you shoot them down, they're not that hard to destroy.
I normally just throw Captain Smash at any flyers, especially Eldar flyers, because I can ignore the Overwatch.
And he tackles it down like no tomorrow.
He just bear hugs him to the ground.
Yep.
Hey.
But hey Nick, with your you had Nightwings, correct? They're the Forge World Flyers.
That's correct. Yep.
Could you give us just a brief breakdown of their profile?
So they've got two Bright Lances.
Have you got the book out there? I can hear the pages turning.
Yeah, I was like, I better get this right, so I just want to make sure. So, so they've got twin shuriken cannons, so assault 6, 24-inch range, strength 6, AP 1, 6 is its AP 3.
Yep.
So that's all for the hordes, but to be honest, the way I was rolling, they did more damage than the Bright Lances. So if you guide them, they're really good. Obviously, strength 8, AP 4, D6 damage with the Bright Lances, heavy 2. The special thing about them is obviously they've got Wings of Cain, which is awesome. Hard to hit with Altioc, gives them, which is neg what two. I was running them as, is neg 2. Beautiful. You just have to keep them away. Mm-hmm. So you just want to obviously keep them on your side of the board. The thing that they've got is Vector Shift. So they've got the two wing modes. Tracted Wings gives them a 5-up invol, and they just move as normal. And basically, if they get smashed and they go down one or two tiers, they've only got a few wounds left, you put them in extended wings, and they can turn to face any single enemy that you have line of sight of within the first pivot, so within 90 degrees, and then you move within 1 inch of them, and you get +1 to hit. So if you're hitting on a normal 5, it goes to a 4.
Good,
and it's basically like a kamikaze kind of move.
Yeah, take
so you
me
just
down,
jump
so
up.
I blow up.
Where's your warlord? That one, awesome. And then hopefully you blow up and roll that 6 exactly. And
yeah.
You're like, yay!
Nice and niche. So I think we should try and maybe break down these top 5 from Wintercom. What do you guys think?
Yep, sounds good.
Yeah, so I will start with the famous number 1. It looks like Christopher Wright, and I think I've seen this name around before. He's from Overwatch Gaming, and it looks like he's done the Craftworld Eldar. So he's got and Wintercon is all 2,000 points. So he's got 14 command points with an Alatok battalion, with Autark Skyrunner, another Autark. No, sorry, Autark Skyrunner, Warlock, 3 Rangers, 2 Shining Spears, both... Oh, no, sorry, 1 Shining Spears. This is formatted weird. He's got repeating words. But Flyers, he's got 1 Hemlock, and then he's got an all-way battalion with Eldrad, Warlock, 3 squads of Guardians... Oh, sorry, 2 squads of 20 Guardians and a squad of Rangers, and then 3 Void Raven Bombers with Jukari Air Wing, and that's Black Heart. So obviously he's going for... Agents of Vect there with that Air Wing Black Heart, which is a different way to get it, actually. Most people opt for the Spearhead with the triple Dizzy Ravagers. So, what do you guys think about this list?
sorry, man. Just
That's okay.
Yes, the... I mean, anything with Drakari, it's always great.
But it's got Void Raven Bombers, which are quite unique. They got each of them has 2 Void Lances, Void Raven Missiles, and Void Raven Missiles are strength 7, neg 1, 2d6 shots. I think it's d6 shots. And Void Lances are basically Bright Lances, so strength 8, neg 4, d6 damage.
The Void Raven Bomber has the is it the Void Mine?
That's
once
correct.
Once per battle.
Yeah.
Actually, I've got the codex up right in front of me now, so...
Yeah, I believe Void Mine, you fly over something and then roll a number of dice equal to the number of units in the squad, number of models in the squad, and for every 3+, it's a mortal wound.
Yep.
That's just so brutal.
Yeah.
They're horrible, the Bombers. Yeah. I went up against one in my 4th game, and it just was, flying over Guardians. You're like, oh, there's 20 in that squad. Fantastic.
There goes 7. Just with one, that's insane.
It's horrible. It's horrible. So
it'd be great against Guard. It doesn't even matter if it's good against Guard, it's just good against any army. Like,
it's good against anything, yeah.
It's a good way to get rid of it. It's like it's the ability that this thing can move.
Yeah. So I think the way he might be playing this is with the Hemlock, he would probably be turn 1 flying those Void Raven Bombers over all the infantry that he sees. And then just fly the Hemlock right near them, deal as many mortal wounds and stuff with the Void Raven missiles and whatnot, because Void Raven missiles are D6 shots each as well, and then the Void Mines are, you know, roughly 7 wounds per 10 per 10 units. So he would just be trying to absolutely pop leadership out through the roof. And then the Shining Spears and that, I assume, would probably be in deep strike, along with maybe one or two squads of Guardians, or maybe just one squad of Guardians.
Because they're quite hard to shift. So yeah, with the ITC format, that gives you really good board control. It's a strong list.
Yeah, so this is all ITC, and I believe Ronto, you said they're not playing the beta rules. Is that correct?
That was correct, yep.
So you can deep strike on turn one, which is still a big deal. So I'm not surprised that that list did pretty well. The Void Raven Bombers are a nice mix. I haven't actually seen that many myself. I've only versed one or two, but the ones that I have versed, I had to shoot them down first.
I don't know if a lot of people... I haven't seen a lot of people playing the Void Raven Bomber. I think it's a pretty good bit of equipment. Like, compared to the Razor Wing, the Razor Wing is very... it's very one-dimensional. It does one thing really good. But I think the Void Raven, it just plays that... kind of plays that role a bit like a Hemlock, where it can just do a bit of everything. Obviously not as effective. It doesn't have the D-Siths on it and stuff like that. But, I mean, those mortal wounds are really nice. If someone's playing... because of its 60-inch movement, if someone's playing something in the backfield, Devastators, you know, something really frustrating, you can just fly straight over and, you know, just... mortal wounds then, and we know how great mortal wounds are in this edition. Like, you might have this, you might have that, you might be an awesome cover. Fly straight over and there goes some mortal wounds for you. It's like a really cool smite.
It is, yes.
Very mobile smite.
What'd you say, sorry, Ronto?
I said a very mobile smite. Yeah,
it's awesome, isn't it? So we might move with that. We might move on to the second list, which is Lee Connor with the Harlequins. So, are you familiar with Harlequins, Ronto?
I've not played them, no. I have not. Okay. I'm familiar a bit with them from reading them, but I've not gone up against them.
Okay. So, he's not actually running the Haywire Cannons, which is interesting, but the common build with Harlequins these days is just mass Skyweavers, because they're 3 wounds, T4, neg 1 hit, and a 4-up imbo.
Nice.
And you can make them a 3-up imbo as well. And you can move them twice, and they move 22 inches, and moving twice, it's 44, and they can still charge.
Wow, okay.
It's insane, yeah. And with that, they actually can be upgraded with a Haywire Cannon. Oh, sorry, he has got Haywire, I think. He just hasn't written the full name. So they can upgrade with Haywire Cannons, and Haywire Cannons are D6 shots each, and they ignore the penalties for their assault, so they advance and shoot at neg 1. So they actually have D6 shots each. So in a squad, you know, they typically run 6 or so. That's 6 D6 shots, all strength 4, neg 1. But against vehicles, any 4 plus is a mortal wound, and any roll of a 6 is D3 mortal wounds.
That's a sad day at the office.
It is.
Recognized list.
Harlequins actually love versing Imperial Knights players, because they just ignore that, you know, 1 CP for 3 up involve, and they just hammer it with mortal wounds. And generally, they run a Farseer or some sort of Supreme Command to get Doom, because Haywire with that reroll is just... because they reroll the 4s and the 5s, so you can really go for the D3 mortal wounds on the 9th.
Yeah, so wow.
It's really big. But he's got, in his list, he's got Soaring Sprite Battalion of Shadowseer, Troopmaster. And then he's got 3... squads of 5 players, all with caresses and fusion pistols. He's got then 3 Starweavers, and then he's got 2 squads of 6 Skyweavers, all with Haywire and Glaives. And then he's got a Silent Shroud auxiliary support with just a Solitaire. So he's obviously doing that for the stratagem we'll talk about. And then he's also got a Blackheart Battalion. So again, people opting to use the Blackheart Agents of Vex stratagem. So pretty potent there. You said there were not a lot of Knights lists at WinterCon, didn't you, Ranto?
No, there was a lot that didn't do very well.
Okay. There was a lot, but yeah, they didn't do very well, right? Yeah.
Every row of tables, there was at least 2. There was quite a lot of Knights around. Yeah. They were by far, I think, the most prevalent army that was there. I just don't. I think a lot of the lists were tailored against knights. So I think people that brought a big knight army didn't do particularly well, because a lot of the main players, or a lot of the players, had anti-knight lists.
Yeah.
Certainly when I talked to everyone, that was what they were all expecting. So.
Yep. Yeah, so this list would, especially if he faced all of those knights players, which if you said roughly 50% of the players were, he would absolutely dominate them, because he's got 15 fusion pistols that are hidden. And the knights, if you've got three knights, they have to shoot these neg one, four up in ball boats that are toughness six or five, toughness five. So, you know, that's one knight shooting per boat, and, you know, it's a lot of wasted shots. And then by this time, all the haywire is absolutely butchering those knights. Same with the fusion pistols. How do you guys think this list would go against you, Jordan?
Well, obviously I've played this Harlequins shenanigans before. Having Drakari, again, it's nice to get access to the sky. Is it the Skyweavers or the Starweavers? The what? The little jet bikes.
The little jet bikes are Skyweavers.
Hey, why?
Yep,
they're Skyweavers. Yeah, they're unreal, man. They're such a good unit. They're neg one to hit. They're a four up invum. They're three wounds now. That three wound profile is really, really good. It's, you know, anything with two damage is just like auto cannons or stuff like that. You know, you get that overkill aspect, a bit of a waste sometimes. It's a good list. Like you said, with all the fusion pistols, and awesome. There's nothing like short range melter, especially with and their ability to just move so fast, you know.
That's right.
Rising crescendo.
I think against this list, I think, because they just dance all around me, and their range would be, they'd outrange me. That's the only problem with my Guardians, only a 12-inch range. So.
12-inch, yeah. And it's so fast and hard to shift, and neg one to hit, and a lot of invuln, so they're super hard to deal with.
I think with, like, my list... I mean, this is 2,000 points, a little different. I haven't really played any 2K recently, but I think the big thing, my list does well against Harlequins, because my scouts seem to do really well against Harlequins in just on foot in general, because they're about the same points cost, but on threes, wound them on twos in combat. And we just bring weight, because I always take scouts with combat blades. We bring in all the good way to deal out some wounds.
Yep.
That lower invun save, but yeah, if I was running a lot of vehicles, which I'm tending not to so much now in this edition, just because vehicles don't get all those bonuses of saves and so on and so forth, the haywire, it just won't have its effect as much. But those bikes, they're just awesome for ITC missions. Really good at capturing objectives.
Just being
a pain in the ass. They can tie things up so quickly because they move so fast.
That's right, yeah, and they don't really give up many secondaries because gangbusters can be really limited on them. But with that, we might sum up the Harlequins list. We'll move on to the third player, which is an interesting one, the Thousand Suns spam by the looks, which is a big thing coming up in a lot of the American meta. And we're starting to see it a bit more here in the Australian meta. Ranto, are you familiar with the Thousand Suns?
Yeah, I play with them. They're one of my other armies.
Oh, nice.
So it's, yeah.
Would you like to do a brief breakdown of this list?
Sure, he's got Ahriman, a disc, which is the only way I think you should take him. Demon Prince with wings, which is the Warlord. Another Demon Prince with wings, with the Helm of the Third Eye. Then he's got a Supreme Command of a Demon Prince with wings, an Exalted Sorcerer on disc, and another Exalted Sorcerer on a disc. And then came his Chaos Demon Battalion with a Flux Master, old Spoilpox Scriver, 30 Pink Horrors, 3 squads of 3 Nurglings, and 29 Plague Bearers with an instrument, and 9 Flamers of Zeench.
Very nice. How do you think this list would play? I'm thinking that the Nurglings would sort of deny the mid-board for any sort of infiltrating armies, and then he would basically just scream with the Plague Bearers, who don't really die, and then for stratagems, can't he regain models? Is that right?
Mm. Yep. It's this is when I saw this list, I thought this would be one of the strongest lists that I saw. Just when I walked around looking at everybody's armies, it can just do so much. He's got the troops to sit on objectives that are just so resilient. He's got the flamers to come down and ruin your day. And then just the demon princes, having three of them and Arryman, is just, it's a pretty good mix. It seems to be kind of the go-to Thousand Sons to have a lot of demon princes running around. It's a lot of smite there.
Nine smites total?
Yeah.
That's hard.
Three demon princes is awesome. That's the Tzeentch Demon Princes taking three of them. You're starting to see that combo with Arryman. It's really, really, really common. Actually, I wouldn't be surprised. I think Liam, who won Winter Warfest, I think he was running a very, very similar list to
that's
that.
That's right, just he was.
That detachment with the three Demon Princes or flying DPs and on disc. It's... I think he was running three Demon Princes, but if he wasn't, there was another T-Sons list there that had that. But see, that combination with demons and Nurglings, things are awesome. Like I've played Wayne a few times, and Wayne runs his Nurglings, and like you can just throw everything at them and they do not die. You've actually got to commit decent firepower to them. You've got to commit weapons with multitudes of damage to actually try to kill them, and that, but. Is as good as a three up on a model with four wounds on a big base.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and for 54 points, you're laughing.
That's right.
That's right. It's just like they're a really good counter for any counter infantry unit. So like they're a really good counter for scouts, a really good counter for guardsmen.
Yep.
For guardians, like because they're
or
just
cultists as well that want to sort of infiltrate mid board. Nope. Nurglings.
Yep. The Nurglings are fantastic. They for their points cost, 12 wounds with three up with your five up, you know, that's for what is it, 54 points?
Yeah.
That's awesome. It's a great screen. Very easy to hide as well. A cheeky little game.
The Nurglings. But with that, we might sum up the Chaos Demons or the Thousand Sons list there. We'll move on to fourth with Lee Abbey. And he's got an old list that isn't really prevalent anymore. It's the Drop Scion Spam with 10 Pestal Prines, 5 squads of Scions, each with 10 Scions? No, 5 Scions with... 10 Scions and with 4 Plasma Guns per squad. And then he's got another battalion with Blood Angels, Captain Smash, obviously. You can't go anywhere with that good old Captain Smash. He's got Mephiston and 3 Scout Squads, so pretty simple, straightforward list there. A lot of drop straight in your face. Captain Smash, can a Pong Wings of Fire, level 1. Turn 1. I'm talking Dota now, I guess. turn 1. And then a lot of drop plasma with the orders, with rerolls to hits and, you know, reroll wounds or sort of things. Is there much I'm missing here from this list?
No, it's pretty straightforward, I think.
He does have one thing I will mention, is a squad of 10 Crusaders. And these guys are actually so overlooked. They're about, how many points per model? 15 points per model. They have a Power Sword and a Storm Shield. They're 3 up in Vuln. They're T3, or I believe, but 3 up in Vuln for 15
That's
points and a Power Sword.
Crazy. Wow. And
absolutely insanely hard to shift.
They're actually starting to see Crusaders. Stephen Fox's list that he took to Winter Warfest had Crusaders. I think it might have been in his final list or his test list he was using, but I'm starting to see a lot of Imperium armies. You're starting to see those Crusaders. Yeah. So they might make... I don't know if it's just here in Australia, but we're starting to see a bit of a shift in the meta with them. We've lost the ability to take any more than 3 of any unit. So what you're seeing now is, what we've always seen in the hobby is units that have the best equipment starting to push forward again. You know, like the units that have
shielding
the best
from
resilience.
The army sort of thing. Yeah.
Are those cheap units, like I was just talking about Nurglings. Nurglings are well costed for what they can do. And these Crusaders are exactly the same. You know, like you're starting to see, it's like with Tau. Tau had broadsides in Index were too expensive. And with every single Tau list has three broadsides in the backfield as a squad with a commander. Like a lot of armies, you're starting to see they're just purchasing as much as they can of the one unit. Like I'm taking, they're just so cheap for what they can do.
Yeah, the scouts. Yeah, exactly.
You know, yeah, I think that's a really cool list.
Yeah, it's a bit of a change. A lot of people have moved from drop signs after the after the deep strike nerf with the beta rules, but you know they're still just as powerful as they were before, and people got so used to screening out with turn one deep strikes that basically if you're dropping in turn two before or after the beta rules, it makes no difference really. In fact, I would say or argue that it's probably even better for those trigger happy Astra Militarum players with the Sarns wanting to deep strike turn one. Maybe it's better for them to hold off, wait for an opponent to make a movement error, and then just really capitalize on that with the Sarns.
Yeah.
So I think with the last analysis there, we can probably move on to Luke Graham, who's run Inari, and he's placed fifth at this tournament. Would you like to brush through this one again, Ranto, if you're familiar with Eldar?
Yep. So you've got the Yavin, Yep. She's the HQ, the Warlord. Just a normal Ulthway Farseer, a Warlock Ulthway as well, 20 Guardians, Defenders, 5 Rangers, 2 squads of 5 Rangers, 5 Shining Spears, and 9 Dark Reapers. And then we've got Harlequins. So we've got the Shadow Sea, 10 players with 10 Harlequin Kisses and 10 Shuriken Pistols, 5 players, 2 squads of 5 players with Fusion and Harlequin Blades, and a Solitaire, Harlequin Kiss and Harlequin Caress, and 2 Star Weavers with 2 Shuriken Cannons.
That's it, yeah. So basically this one, it looks like the typical Inari Reaper sort of double shoot twice. What's interesting, he doesn't actually have a Wave Serpent to keep them and Yvraine safe. So, I mean, it's kind of risky banking on getting turn one and not having your Reapers shot off the board, because each one that dies now is now 34 points. And they're like wet paper when you actually look at them, so they're easy to shift. He's got the Shining Spears with Sam Hain, so obviously he can do the double move with Inari, so move the Spears up 22, move them within 7 inches or something, kill it with the Reapers, move the Spears again, and then you can move them 44 inches and still charge with the stratagem. The other one he can
do...
That's
strong.
It's an insane combo, right? Now imagine doing that before the FAQ, where you could just deep strike them in, kill something or whatever. Well, you could do it 3 times. You could move them, deep strike them in, and they're safe. You know, you've got a full healthy squad of Shining Spears, fully buffed up, ready to go, and then you quicken them, and they move another 22 inches. And then they kill something and then move another 22 inches and then use a stratagem and they can charge it. It's just insane. But that's kind of a little bit tweaked down now. But he's also got a squad of 20 Guardians with 2 heavy weapons platforms. And they are Ulthway. So there's a stratagem he can use for 1 CP to give them +1 to hit. So with 20 Guardians you're pumping out and 2 Shuriken platforms, you're pumping out 46 shots. That's 4T6, not 4D6. all hitting on 2s, and you can generally reroll 1s with the power from Yvraine. And then with Doom, they're all strength 4, but 6s are rending at neg 3. So with Doom, you can average almost like 30 neg 3 wounds on something, because you get the full conversion from the first round. Yeah, it's insane, right? And then if you're doing something like a T8 on a knight, that's roughly 30 wounds or so. That you can get, sorry, on a T7. It's a bit less on a knight, of course, but it's quite surprising. And if they're, you know, Inari, if you get lucky and get to move again or something, you can do that twice.
Yeah, because the Guardians are super strong, the higher the toughness, because you have more rerolls with Doom.
That's exactly
so right. You want to roll the fives and the sixes. You want to get as many, you know, if you're going to fail, you want to fail more, so you get another chance to roll for those sixes. Do really, really well against high toughness things, because
that's right.
Yeah, you really want to get that -3 off. It's really strong.
Yeah, and at the same time, he's got the a Shadow Seer, I'm guessing, with the power to move again. And he'll have 2 Star Weavers full with Fusion Boats, so while you've got all that happening with the Eldar sort of running in your face and deep striking, you've got these 2 Star Weavers that are moving 22 inches, and they can actually, the boat themselves, not many people know this, but you can actually do this. The boat, since it has 2 Shuriken Cannons, you can move it 22 inches, and you can shoot the boat and have the Fusion Pistols inside, right? Shoot the boat, fire and fade forward another 7 inches, and then shoot the Fusion Pistols afterwards. And that those Fusion Pistols are now 7 inches closer to whatever target you wanted to shoot. So essentially, you can cheekily move the boat 29 inches and then shoot Fusion Pistols. So it's a bit of a surprise there.
Fusion Pistols really just extends out.
Yeah, they are. And he's Soaring Sprite as well. So they actually... Oh, what's the bonus Soaring Sprite gets? I think they don't suffer a penalty to advancing from shooting from a boat. So...
I think that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. So I think that's what he'd be going for there.
Nice.
Which is a very potent combo. But yeah, I'm not surprised. There's a tough competition there at WinterCon. So yeah, what do you think of the event overall, Ranto?
It was everyone I played was really nice, super friendly, and there's a lot of excitement around, and yeah, everyone was walking around talking to each other. It was a really, really fun event. I'd definitely recommend it. I got to meet the organizers of CanCon face to face, which was awesome as well. And I think that's also going to be huge. They're aiming for 200 players this January, so that's going to be Australia's biggest ever event. We're going to go down and mat the tables, and hopefully we're going to rustle up some Queenslanders to go and represent. I really enjoyed going down there. My biggest complaint with the entire event was it was 0 degrees, which my car's never had ice on it before, so that was quite a curve for myself.
Really, down in Canberra, you got ice, eh?
It was freezing.
Yeah. Wow.
But no, it was a lot of fun. Next time I will not drink as much.
Yeah, that's good. I think you wanted to mention something about BrizCon and your attempts there.
Yeah, so we're running BrizCon again this year. So we'd really we're going to really want to make it a bigger event. We've talked to the guys in CanCon, and we met quite a lot of people from Orange. There was quite a lot of other events organizers there. So we really want to try and grow that. It'll be towards the end of April. It's usually one of the final weekends in April. So when we get an actual announcement on that, we'll let everybody know. Awesome. So we'd love to make that a major event if we could. Hopefully everyone can come down. Be great to see you guys all there. We'll obviously be matting all the tables and have full ITC terrain on all the tables as well. We've just actually got an order in this week, so we've got all the new terrain sets, including the Gothic ruins, Interstellar City, which may or may not look similar to Tau, as well as all the new range of mats, which is pretty exciting. So we've got a bit of terrain to be building if we want to do 60 plus players, but that's our aim. We'd love to have you guys come down, and everyone else, all the listeners. Be fantastic if you could support us, and we'll give you more information as that happens. CanCon is going to be amazing. 200 players is awesome. I went to the LVO in 2016, and that was incredible to be part of. And I think it's going to be similar feel to that down in Canberra in January. So yeah, I think that's going to be amazing.
Yeah, awesome. And last year, I'm not sure. Oh no, it was this year. Sorry, not sure if many of you knew, but BrizCon was kind of a bit of a toss around between who was gonna host it this year. And Ranto and colleague Izzy, right? Izzy?
Yep, that's correct. Yep, Izzy.
Yep. They stepped in sort of last minute to sort of host and provide the tournament with scenery, and it actually ended up running a very, very successful event. It was a good event, a lot of good tables, a lot of good scenery. So, with you running it with a bit more time to prepare and advertise for the next upcoming BrizCon, I have no doubt that it's going to be an awesome tournament. So, I definitely think it'll be good because Canberra and CanCon have a big scene there, and you know, they get, like you said, 150 players this year, and 200 players is expected next year. I don't see why Brisbane can't do the same thing.
Exactly. I think that we definitely have we have the players up here, and I think that if we can get to a certain size, then obviously it attracts people up for those big ITC points. So we're going to be working with the CanCon guys to try and forge an alliance between CanCon and BrizCon to try and get, you know, grow the scene here. And it would be really, really excited to have everybody up. We learn a lot from it. Was our first big event, so it's the we learn a lot as TOs, and we're going to make it even better. Izzy luckily is an electrical engineer, so he like he put electronics in the Necron terrain, so it'll sorry, the Robot City terrain, so all lit up and stuff. So yeah, you see more of that around the next event for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. So Jordan, will you be attending the next BrizCon up and coming? Because I think you didn't have time to play this year, did you?
So now this year it was my partner's birthday, but I still attended the Saturday for about an hour or two because I mean I can't get enough hammers. So I mean I can't play, so I come along and watch other people play. It's just a great thing. But now I'll make sure this next year I'll be 110% for BrizCon. Actually, I think considering the limited amount of time that Ranto and Izzy had to organize the event, and you guys managed to put together. Obviously, from when I attended, you put together a pretty good event. Yeah, I think next year's only getting better. You'll have plenty more time to organize. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I can't wait to play. So it's
Yeah,
gonna be
me
cool.
neither. It should be a great event. But with that, I think we'll say goodbye to Ranto. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We'd love to have you anytime you want to come on, man.
Thanks for having me. It's been awesome talking to you both. And yeah, I'll definitely be. Hitting you guys up in the future. Sounds awesome.
Okay. Awesome, man. All right. Good night.
Thanks, guys. See ya. Bye.
Hey, mate.
And we're back. So there's a few things that have been happening locally around Brisbane that I wanted to share with everyone. Recently, BGC opened, the Brisbane Gaming Collective, managed by Ben and Sal, along with their great team that they have there at a really good location in Coorparoo. They're currently upstairs on, I forgot the street name, but it's a really good environment there. Ben always was a favorite from Games Workshop Macrovat, and he stepped up to managing position at BGC, and he's doing a really good job there. Like it's got a really good environment, really good community built around it, and that's what we love to see in the hobby. So good on them, BGC, for opening up a great new store, and we'll be seeing them around quite often. Check out our posters hanging up on the walls there of our little meme poster.
Just to recap as well, BGC is located on Old Cleveland Road,
That's right.
in Coorparoo. It's really easy to find. It's near the new, where the old Myer Centre used to be. I can't remember the exact address. It's where the new cinemas, the Dendy cinemas are. I think if you go past McDonald's on the left, you've gone too far. So that's a good reference if you're heading towards the city.
Yeah, but there's good food, good
Now,
new food in that new complex that's just opened up as well.
there is, man. It's really that whole place across the road. It's fantastic. So they've got a pretty, like, to me, it's a really premium location. I didn't know it was that close to my house.
Yeah, exactly.
So I definitely will be visiting more often. It just it looks awesome. So
Yeah.
I saw obviously seen some photos from the store. They've got so much hobby release too, like formats of games. Yeah, it's going to be really cool. Can't wait.
Yeah, and on that note, Corey, he actually bought, I don't know if this is entirely true, but what I've heard is he bought every Magic the Gathering pack from the store besides like one or two. So, and that was on grand opening day, bought all of them.
Yeah, that's, there you go. Like, they're already getting quite popular. Like, from what I'd seen from the photos, I think they even stayed open that night till like midnight or like 11 o'clock because they were putting posts on Facebook. They were like really active through the day on the socials. And I think any like private gaming club, any group like that, you know, that's not organizational is, yeah, it's fantastic. It's really good for the hobby and especially for Brisbane, like our local area. It's only a positive, so I'm really, really grateful.
Yeah, yeah. And just on that note as well, while they're doing during the opening sort of month, there are every $20 you spend, I think it is, in store, you gain a ticket entry to a random prize draw. Excuse me. And these random prize draws are actually have bundles, I think it is. So there'll be different bundles that they'll disclose later on. But yeah, it's really good to good incentive to go to the store as well. Plus, the main thing that you want to go there for is the community. Ben, Big Ben's just a great guy. You fall in love with him as soon as you meet him. So make sure you check out BGC. Also, I wanted to touch on the Bay Area Open was next. Our good friend Denise Jordan, as you know, he visited BAO. And he met some fellow podcasters, Mitch Pelham and Colm Sherman from Best in Faction, as well as recent Frankie from Frontline Gaming. He managed actually to, you know, doing his charismatic charm, as he always does, Denise, he managed to fill in for a buy game with recent Frankie's okay. So he managed to do a recap for us of his game and share his time there. So we'll play that for you now.
Hey guys, I'm here at day two at the BAO. I'm facing the lovely Cameron. Say hi, bro.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Awesome. I had a chat to Reese this morning and he was good enough to give me a buy game. So I'm playing Cameron's Deathwatch and I'll let you know how it goes. All right.
And Denise was also kind enough to give us a post-day review of the BAO, so I'll play that for you guys now.
Hey guys, just doing a review after my visit to the Bay Area Open. Yeah, it was really good to see, you know, the Frontline Gaming guys. I had a good chat to Mitch Pelham and Colin Sherman from Best in Faction as well, and a bit of a chat to Jeff Robinson. But yeah, it was a great event. I finished that buy game with Cameron. It was a good game. He ran his Death Watch and he had turn one. He had a lot of veterans, a lot of intercessors, and a Spartan, actually. But yeah, it was a good game. My Blood Angels captains did pretty well against the Spartan. The Venerable Dreadnoughts ended up taking down a lot of the Primaris that he had and a lot of the veterans. And I think I won 26-12. So it was a pretty good win. But yeah, in general, with the Bay Area Open meta, the results just came out. And we saw that there are a lot of knights in the top lists. I think four out of the top six lists were Imperial Knights. Also a lot of Yunari. There was a number of between, you know, number six and number 12 place finishes, Yunari. And then Jeff Robinson's Custodes right at the top. So a good spread of stuff. But it looks like a lot of the tougher units and tougher lists are coming through. The two 5-0 lists were Death Guard, Plague Burst Crawlers, and actually Blightlord Terminators mixed with some Knights. And yeah, Imperial Knights and a cheap Guard Battalion. So yeah, I think Jordan and Luke will have a bit to talk about on the next episode. But yeah, just wanted to give a little recap. In just over 2 weeks, I'll be attending the Capital City Bloodbath Tournament in Canada. So this was a good test for that. I found a few things I'm testing out: the Death Watch Veteran Bomb and the Thunderfire Cannon and how its Tremor Shell stratagem's working. They're going really well, so yeah, it'll be good. I'll give reports during and after the Capital City Bloodbath in Canada. But all right, take care, guys. See ya.
So that was just a small recap of Denise's game, but now we wanted to get into the nitty gritty of the event top five lists. Jordan, did you want to kick it off?
Yeah, I can. I'm very happy to do this. This is one of my favorite parts.
This is your forte.
List deconstruction. Not the best at it, but it's something I enjoy because I can sometimes see combos and whatnot. But yeah, well, the first list I will talk about, I think it was Mark Carrion or Caron or something along those lines.
Yeah, Carrion, that's right.
He
placed fifth, by the way, and at this tournament, sorry, I'll jump in there, Jordan. There were 135 players at this event, and these guys place, will start at five and go down to number one. So Mark Carrion placed fifth with his Imperial Knights.
How many games was it? It was over six games, wasn't it?
I think so.
I'm just looking at Mark's list here. It's kind of funny. This is a list we're seeing a lot of at the moment. Has some very, very similar varieties to... it's actually got two detachments that are identical to Denise. 1,500 list. The Blood Angels Battalion, surprise, surprise, the two Captain Smashers, three units of Scouts. But the addition that did surprise me a little bit was the Death Company edition of 15 Death Company, all with jump packs, 7 with power axes, 8 with bolt guns. That unit is really, it's 335 points, pretty pricey, but a Death Company with a strength 5 weapon, plus 1 to wound rolls. You're going to wound most things on 4s and 3s. Like most vehicles, you'll wound on 4s, like we're talking knights on 4s.
Is power axe plus 1 or plus 2, Jordan?
Fairly sure it is plus 1 to strength, and then it's neg 2.
Oh, okay.
To AP, but obviously being Blood Angels, you get the plus 1 to wound rolls on charge. That's 3 attacks, actually, yes, 3 attacks each with a power axe. So that's quite a few attacks with a power axe, which is really nice. That unit's really deadly. There's no, you can maybe throw a captain in with them to reroll the ones to hit rolls. The interesting addition to this list was the three knights, the three gallants. I guess you're just going to see them run up the table and go hunt the big things. The Death Company will clear a screen. We'll just do what guard do best. Give you lots of CP. And this list is rolling in with 19 CP because he's taking the super heavy detachment with three knight gallants, which I think he took House...
Terran is.
That's a quite a strong little list there. It's got some really, really nice components. It's got basically the best components of a guard.
Yeah.
Sorry, Imperium variety. So yeah, I don't mind that one at all.
Yeah, it's awesome. He's got Grand Strategist, Kuro's Aquila, and I'm guessing the Veritas Vitae. I think it's cut out on his list, but that'll be a 5-up. Whenever you spend a command point on both sides. So he's just, you know, farming command points for days. And he has 19 off the bat because he's got two battalions and the super heavy knights detachment, which is, 19 CP. So he has infinite command points here.
It's a cool little list, that one.
It is, yeah. It's quite common for the knights to do that. So shall we move on to Jeff Robinson there? It's got a captain on bike, Trajan. I don't actually know what Trajan is, and 3x3 spears. Then he's got one squad of 5 Veritas Praetors and 1 squad of 4. He's then got a Cadian battalion of company commander with Grand Strategist and a company commander with Kurov's Aquila. So he's got the command point farm there. And then he's got 3x9 infantry squads with mortars, so that's pretty standard for your Astra Militarum battalion. Then he's got an auxiliary Calexus. Now, that's interesting because I always say that, and you know this, Jordan, I love my Calexus because for 85 points, you can effectively deny at least one psychic phase for your opponent if they're a psyker.
Yeah, it makes the psychic phase harder. I'm obviously been testing this for quite some time and I'm really enjoying it, the Calexus. So now it's funny. Looking through this BLA list, I did notice there are quite a few that are starting to adopt same this Calexis edition as an auxiliary, because if you can walk in with double Italian, you've got 13 CP. Most tournaments you go to are going to be three detachments minimum. Making a Calexis is... It's a really good type of assassin, the Calexis, because he's great at denying psychic for 85 points. It's really cheap. I find with him, if there's missions you're playing that don't really have anyone you're playing that doesn't have any psychic, like against the Custodes and other lists I played, I just use him as a distraction. I can put him, you're taking old school, that's that point for behind enemy lines in your opponent's deployment at the end of the game. He's so hard to kill.
Yeah, six is difficult. He's like, you know, still a pain in the ass, you know.
He's just difficult to deal with. And if you're dealing with him while you're dealing with, I don't know, for me, it's like, you know, big blob of Sanguinary Guard or a couple of Captain Smashes, or you're dealing with stuff that is just difficult to deal with. And then you've got a little assassin running around your back line just pissing you off. It's he's really cool. I really, really like him. And I'm, you know, down the track, bigger points, I will probably look at running two. Yeah, and I think Jeff Robertson, he has run this similar this list before. I think it was at that tournament in the UK,
London where GT, he ran. Or...
I think it was the London GT. Yes, it was London GT, the one that everyone talked about. There's so much hype about the terrain there, but that was
the terrain meme, the tournament that you should go to, not to worry about or whatever.
He was over there playing. He played against, I think it was that one of the that tower play that was very controversial, but from that he's run this list really similar before, but without the guard battalion. So I think the addition of the guard battalion, he's obviously discovered this is again a really common list, better at the moment, because it's just so strong. So. Yeah, but we might talk about what list number three.
Yeah, sounds good, man.
So this list is, it does appear, it's a bit cut off, but I'm assuming the first half of the list would be a guard battalion, I'm imagining.
Yeah, I would assume, because there's two detachments that you can see down. It's important, I want to make a shout out here. Guys, when you upload to BCP, it is good to just make sure that you format it properly so everyone can see your full list. Yeah.
Please.
Disclosure. Thank you. Continue, Jordan.
he's got an astropath, like about six guard squads with the mortar in each, Ulgrins, with five with slab shields and the other four with brute shields. Have maul, so that's just going to walk straight up the table and just punch everything
and never die
because it's got the priest as well, so that's going to stop you worrying about morale and stuff like that if someone can pump out some shots. But and then it's just got three squads of mortars, three heavy weapon teams of mortars, and you've got a knight castellan, so that's the one with the big plasma cannon and the I think it's the plasma cannon, the volcano cannon.
Yeah, well, he's opted for two shield. What is it? Siegebreaker cannons.
Yeah, two Siegebreaker cannons and then two shield-breaker missiles. This is the interesting addition of this list that I kind of find cool, and I'm now going to... It makes me want to go through these three codexes, but he's taken an Astra Militarum... Sorry, not an Astra Militarum, Adeptus Astartes Battalion. So, Adeptus Astartes keyword to get a Space Marine Primaris Librarian, Primaris Librarian, and a Rune Priest from Space Wolves. And he's taken three squads of scouts. Not sure on the loadouts. I'd imagine bolt guns because it's the best loadout. That's an interesting selection of characters there. So I'm going to probably later on tomorrow, I think I might actually go through those three codexes and just find out what he's taking. He's probably taken Null Zone on the Maris. The Dark Angels do have a couple. I think there's about two or three good powers they've got that are really good. I think there's one that makes you neg one to hit in combat.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure what Space Wolves have because you don't really see them in the meta at the moment. So this is an interesting list. The fact that it plays third is a good sign really well. So
yeah, definitely knew what he was doing. Like, it just would have been Bulgrins running up the field, then I guess heaps of indirect fire with the mortars. And bull guns are hard to shift, and they hit like a truck as well. And then you've got the three, basically, psychers that are just dealing mortal wounds and casting powers behind the line as well.
And, I mean, you've got to remember, too, you've got that Castellan sitting at the back, which can hunt characters. He's got 13 CP. He's obviously going to take the Aquila, Grand Strategist, all that sort of stuff. So he's going to have a farm of CP. You've got the knight sitting at the back shooting all day, screened out by a bazillion bodies. Deal with 9 Borgrins running up the table. That's a list of just, yeah, a lot of stuff. A list that probably do really well against this would maybe be T-Sons.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well.
Yeah, a bit of smite spam on the Borgrins and the Castellan, and pretty much taking away the strength of this. Another thing that'd probably do really well is maybe a Kalexus.
Yes, yeah. But it's a really interesting list, though, because you've got to come forward to shoot that. Because I think the Siegebreaker cannons are 72-inch range, right? I think they're massive range.
They're 2d3. So they're basically, I think they're 2d3 shots each. I think they can be up to 8 shots.
Yep.
And then they're also, the strength 7, neg 1, 72-inch, and d3 damage. So they're like an average auto cannon with way better range.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so that sort of sits at the backfield, doesn't even have to move forward, and then he's got his Borgrins moving up and his guard blob just protecting any deep strike. So you have to move up with, because he's going to outrange you, you're going to have to move up and come closer to those Borgrins if you want to shoot the knight. And if you get too close and don't deal enough damage to the knight, the Borgrins are going to walk over you, you know? Like, it's actually a really good dynamic list, so.
It's another current list that's obviously showing up in the meta at the moment. Mm. I've seen that Borgrin blob before, so but it is good to see that, you know, these lists are they're still around and they're still meta at the moment. So this is the list that came second place, John. So this was he took a Astra Militarum battalion. Regular battalion of 3 squads with a mortar in each, 3 infantry squads, a mortar in each. You've got the
Duel.
And then you've got another company commander with a Corvus Aquila.
And 4 knights.
And then, yes, he has got 4 knights. So he's got 2 gallants, or gallants, however people like to say it. Crusader, the rapid fire battle cannon. I would imagine it's probably got the Gatling cannon, and then it's also got the Castellan again, another Castellan. So, and this one, it looks like he's gotten under it, Warlord trait and relic. So, second House Raven, which I think House Raven is, they're not the ones that get back up again, because that's Tyrannus.
No, is Raven 6 up Film of Pain?
It might be.
I should know my knights.
You don't like playing knights, so.
No, I don't like knights.
I've got them here. So, where is it? House Raven. Okay, so House Raven. Models with House Raven tradition do not suffer the penalties for their hit rolls for advancing and firing assault weapons. Furthermore, during a turn in which a unit with this household tradition advances, all of its heavy weapons are treated as assault weapons.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. So you've got that'd be really cool with the Crusader. You probably don't want to move that Castellan too much. You just want to keep that thing still. And the two Gallants or Gallants running up the table. Yeah, I think that's a lot of bodies, like a lot of wounds to deal with. Plus you've got a guard battalion. I think you played Jeremy's list, which is almost identical to this.
Yeah. It's just insane that, like, knights are so cheap now as well, because, like, in 1500, you can fit 3 knights and a guard battalion. So that's insane. Whereas, like, at the start of this edition, I think you were lucky to fit 3 knights in 2,000 points, or 1850 or whatever. So just their power is insane. And plus, now you've got command points out the window through with what is it, the FAQ. And then you've got as well Grand Strategist, Kurobs Aquila, and Veritas Vitae. So it's just knights going infinite command points, infinite spam. It's just insane.
It's gonna be really interesting to see where the meta changes, like when G-Dub do their FAQ update next, or I think at the end of this year, or probably in a month or two. Interesting to see what changes, because yeah, we are seeing some regularities in a lot of these current lists that are making top tables. There is a little bit of variety, and that probably just comes down to local meta too, and what people have. But I think yeah, these current lists, they're all showing very similar signs.
Yeah.
We'll get on to the final list, which was, I forgot his name.
Don Hoosen it was, and a lot of people are raving on about this list because it's a little bit different.
And it's kind of off meta. But the instant I look at this list, I can see exactly what it wants to do, and it makes... It's because I've played this something very similar to this before. So this has a Death Guard Spearhead Detachment with a Flying Demon Prince, the Ark of Contagion, Ark of Contaminator, sorry, and then he's also got the Separating Plate, which is the, I think it's a 2-up armor, and then every time you hit the Demon Prince on a 4-up, he can do a mortal wound to you. So it's really, really cool. For every wound that's... for every save that's passed, so they've got 5-ups in guns. He's taken 10 Blight Lord Terminators, there's 2 Flowers of Contagion, and just a bunch of Combi Bolters. So that's just one blob that's like, you know, 2 wounds apiece. They're just, yeah, hard to shift. And then this is the cheeky little play. He's got the Foul Blightspawn, of course. And then the cheeky play was the Plague Burst Crawlers with the Plague Spitters. And that unit there, that is straight away, those 3 plague Bursts are just acting as a screen. That's a Toughness 8, 12 wounds.
5-up,
T8, 12 wounds. 5-up, Feel No Pain. 5-up, Invuln, 3-up Armor. Legit because of the Plague Spitters. And it just literally sits at the front of the table and just screens. For the list, he's taken a Knight's Renegade Super Heavy Detachment. Damages with the auto cannons, a Renegade Crusader Knight with the 2 Avenger Gatling cannons. So, and then it's also taking the Iron Storm missile launcher. So this list is purely just screening with the Plague Burst, which are just really tough to shift. Just DACA, like lots of 2 damage, high strength. Damage weapons, so which is really, this list is really good at killing Drakari, really good at killing Eldar, really good at killing Custodes.
How do you think this list would do against another Knights list, though, Jordan?
Good question. I think the Blight Lord Terminators might actually have a bit of fun. Demon Prince could have some fun. Yeah, it's... I don't know. I think Knight lists... sort of knights were playing, I guess, but a lot of them do really well against high toughness. So those knights would punch those plague bursts straight away.
Yep.
Maybe this guy just had good matchups. Maybe he played the list he wanted to play.
He got some. I think looking at the pairings, he actually had some hard matchups. Excuse me, but it's just interesting because he would have like with the field, it looks like, what is it? In the top 5, 3, well, 4, is it 4 players? 4 players have knights.
Yeah.
Sorry, 3 play. 3 of the top 5 have knights. And then in the top 10, you have another 2. So 50% of the top 10 have knights, which is just, you know, it's a prevalent meta. I'm guessing at some point along the line he would have had to fight knights, and I'm just wondering how those Blightlord Terminators would have gone, because it's a different pick, isn't it?
It's an interesting pick because it's a really expensive choice. He could have taken another knight for that. the amount of points. But that's that unit is purely the same. It's the same play as the Bulgrins.
Yeah,
true. A distraction. It's 10. It's 10. Those that feel no pain that are actually, yeah, pretty decent in combat. It's purely to be a massive distraction. Because I think they're two wounds apiece. You can't even score gangbusters on them. So
No, you can't. And like, if you were to go like big game hunter on this list, you could maybe get 2 points easy, but the other 2 points you're gonna have to work for, because you know, you've got the plague burst crawlers, which are insane to kill. And then if you pick Titan Slayer, it's hard to get max points on that because he's only got one knight. You can only get 3 points.
Yeah. So I'm actually just looking at the Blightlord Terminators now, their profile. So yeah, they're two attacks, two wounds, toughness five. They've got the combi bolters. They're technically a cataphracty armor, so they're 4+ in one.
Ooh.
So okay.
Yeah.
And make you a wound roll of 6.
Pestilence and whatnot, make them neg one to hit and stuff.
Yeah, that's it. See, that's exactly it. And that's what you've got. The Demon Prince. That Demon Prince takes Miasma. Really cool. It's it's kind of a similar play to like I run with a Sanguinary Guard. It's just one big blob that just runs up the field. These guys are a lot tougher than the Guard. Toughness 5. But one thing that probably picks them apart really quickly is auto cannons as well. But then they've got a 5+ feel no pain as well. And they're pretty cool. It's a really good unit, that. I think, obviously, he can't take any more Plague Burst Crawlers, so that's probably why he took them.
Yeah, but from what I hear, I didn't actually attend the event, but Denise told me that Don played some very good games and had a very good tournament. So congratulations to Don for topping the BAO. Well done.
Yeah, exactly. And credit to him as a player. It sounds like he knows exactly what he's doing. So congratulations to winning the BAO.
Yeah, well done. So I think with that, we might wrap up the old episode and get on with our merry lives. What do you think, Jordan?
Yeah, man, I think that's a good idea. We've had a good chat with Ranto and done everything we can at the moment to talk about some of the current stuff coming up, and there's a lot more to come, so stay tuned, folks.
There is indeed. Thank you for listening. We look forward to hearing from you guys again. Enjoy your hobby for the rest of the week, and until next time, see you later.
Have a good night. Turn it up, let it start from block one.